Different. I'll show you different. Different. Different land it is. Okay, welcome to our book pick segment for this Tuesday, the 25th of October. And we couldn't be more pleased to have one of our favorite humans on the planet, Amy Lane of Open Door Bookstore and Gift Gallery, here to share just a beautiful assortment. And it is assorted. It's like a Whitman sampler of books.
That's kind of an interesting
analogy. One will be that jelly thing that you try to either give to the dog or hide under the sofa.
Oh, let's not start with that. Let's start off with the cream of the crop, which is
excellent.
Your favorite. Well, now I don't know where to begin.
Anywhere. That's a great thing.
I'm going to start then with The Mothers by Britt Bennett. This is a debut novel, many, many years in the making. She started writing this when she was in her teens and has sort of kept writing it throughout her years. And it's the story of three young folks, Nadia Turner being the primary character, and her relationship with Luke Shepherd and her close friend Aubrey, and how the three of them connect. And it has this, I really like her writing style. So I'm going to take a moment and read you the beginning, because my philosophy has always been, if the beginning doesn't grab you, then
you're kind of screwed.
You're kind of. Kind of.
Maybe your philosophy is a little more gentle than that, but yes, that's fine.
That's the gist.
Yeah.
So, beginning with, we didn't believe when we first heard, because you know how church folk can gossip. Like the time we all thought First John, our head usher, was messing around on his wife because Betty, the pastor's secretary, caught him cozying up at brunch with another woman, a young, fashionable woman at that, one who swished her hips and when she walked, even though she had no business switching anything in front of a man married 40 years. You could forgive a man for stepping out on his wife once, but to romance that young woman over buttered croissants at a sidewalk cafe, now that was a whole other thing. But before we could correct First John, he showed up at Upper Room Chapel that Sunday with his wife and the young, hip-switching woman, a great niece, visiting from Fort Worth. And that was that.
All right, that's amazing.
Right?
First of all, beautiful reading.
Thank you.
But man, that's good.
So doesn't that just pull you in? And I love the collective narrative that pops in throughout here of the church folk.
Yep.
It's great. I really think this is the novel that people need to start looking at right now and picking up. So
now, I noticed in your reading a little lilt, a little southern lilt.
No, that's just me.
That's just you.
That's
okay.
Just me. It's
okay.
Not a southern novel. I apologize.
No, I was just curious.
That just happens to me every once in a while. Oh, man.
You were born above the Mason-Dixon line, weren't you?
Only in physicality.
Okay, all right, gotcha.
Yeah.
All right, it's The Mothers by Britt Bennett. It looks terrific.
It is. It's an odd cover, though, I will say that.
Yeah, it's a sort of abstract.
Yes, I'm
odd.
Not a massive fan of it. But moving on to the next, which has a lovely cover that I enjoy quite a lot. It is called American Philosophy, a love story, and this is actually a book about philosophy. Don't be caught up in the love story idea of it.
Okay.
It pops in. It's by John Cogg, and so he takes this essential question of, is life worth living? Right? He's at a point in his own life where that question comes to mind, and he's at his own crossroads and struggling with this. And he's a philosophy major, postdoc at Harvard. And so he finds himself on the road, and he in New Hampshire, and he comes to this place called the West Wind. He's actually brought there by this guy who told him about it when he stopped at the side of the road for a cup of coffee. It's an odd little anecdote, but there you go. And in it is, his name is William Ernest Hocking, and he was a very great sort of philosopher, American philosopher, back in the early part of the 20th century. And he spoke with and was taught by and collected the works of some of the preeminent American philosophers of his younger years and the end of the 19th century and early 20th century. And so the author, John, finds this home because of this happenstance when he's at this crossroads in his life where he needs sort of a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And he finds this library that has collected all of these works with all of these handwritten notes and margins and things of all of these great philosophers that he's been studying. And he decides, and he gets permission to catalog it all. So it's this glorious narrative of his own story about this undertaking, as well as a nice delving into American philosophy that we probably take for granted for the most part. And some of it, it's just, I haven't even heard of several of these folks. But I love this, and I love the idea of philosophy in general, like this, yeah. And this is going to play into the next book that I'm going to talk about, which is Reputations by one Gabriel Vasquez. It's this sense of our thoughts and our memories and how things interact and how, I've really been on a philosophy trip lately. I've been also reading this great book called Love and Lies by Clancy Martin, which is the ways in which we lie to ourselves and how we seek out these answers to these formidable questions that maybe don't have answers. Maybe the answer to the question of is life worth living is simply, well, maybe it is. Mm. And it's the striving to find that answer, the quest that is part of that, why life is worth living and why we do what we do and think how we think. It's
very heavy.
Sorry.
No, that's good. That's very good. So it's American Philosophy,
yeah.
A Love Story.
Yeah.
And the author is?
John Cogg.
John Cogg.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's K-A-A-G, not C-O-G, like a cog.
Okay. Yes.
Just
much
saying.
More philosophical. Yes.
Way more philosophical. but then there's Reputations, which I just mentioned. And I love this guy. He is like the preeminent Colombian author, and I feel like everybody needs to read him. The way he writes is he's not a plot-driven kind of guy. Like, he puts all the pieces together for you, although not necessarily. And that's the other thing, is like, sort of at the end, you don't really get the answers that you've been looking for throughout the book, but it's the looking that is sort of what's interesting.
Yeah.
And it's not a book where... So the gist of it is there's this political cartoonist who is now being honored in Colombia, and this is a novel, and he is somebody who, with his pen and ink and his drawings, has really kept the political climate interesting, fresh, and it was a dangerous time for him to be doing this and making political statements via cartoons of any kind in Colombia during like the 80s and 90s. So there's a little bit of that history that you get from it as well, that it was, you don't say bad things about the people in power.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And there's this interesting bit where in the very beginning when he's talking about how nobody recognizes him. Nobody knows his face because you don't see it. Nobody plasters the face next to his cartoons. He just gets to say what he needs to say. And so there's anonymity involved, and there's safety in that anonymity. But I digress from the story. So there's an incident that happened years and years ago that he doesn't know whether or not it actually happened in the way that he thought that it happened. And that's kind of the gist. And it's brought to his attention by this young woman. It is. And so it's a quest for discovery as to whether or not the truth as he remembers it is actually the truth as it actually happened. So that's a lot of actuallys. But that's, and I love how Juan Gabriel Vasquez writes. He's got this very ruminating, sort of almost meandering, but that sounds trite, way of writing. But he's calm.
Yeah.
I like that. It's a calm kind of quiet writing that I appreciate very much.
Reputations by Juan Gabriel Vasquez.
Okay, so on the other end of the spectrum, we have Nick Offerman, and his latest, which is Good, Clean, Fun, and Misadventures in Sawdust at Offerman Workshop. And it is, in fact, a how-to book, as well as being jolly good fun. But you, if anybody out there is a woodworker and likes fun projects, this he gets some of the best in the business to come and make stuff with him and for him. And he introduces us all to them. And it's really kind of awesome. I just love this.
So does it work on the two levels? So if I don't care a bit about making a table,
yes,
I can still enjoy the comedic and the wit of the book.
Yes, the meeting and the greeting of these folks who do these things for a living or for fun. And there's, you know, there's...
Or if I want to make a bookshelf.
That's right. And
then I can do that too.
You could, but there's cartoons, lots of pictures, there's all sorts of anecdotes. You look, a birdhouse. Who doesn't want a nice little birdhouse in their backyard?
Well, I do. I just don't want to make it.
That's why you outsource. So you give this book to somebody and say, make me this, and have fun in the process.
Outsource. That's right. I bought you a book. Now make me a birdhouse.
But with this book, you could.
That's right. So, well, it looks fun.
It is.
It's
good,
big.
Clean,
it's
fun.
Big,
it is. Yeah. It is a big, because it's actually like a how-to, you know, user manual. You know, how to fix this and how to make that. I love it.
Good, clean, fun by Nick Offerman. All right.
All right. Last adult book that I have on the list is The Glorious.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's
so
big.
It is. And it's beautiful. And it is for those who appreciate and love dance. There's another one out right now, which is The Dancers in the Dark, which was the dancers. Oh, my God. Why can't I remember the original book? Sorry. I'm blanking, everybody. Pardon. It'll come back soon.
Okay.
But I like this one a little. It's different, obviously. The other one, The Dancers in the Dark, have Dancers After Dark has a more whimsical feel. But this is just bodies in motion in many, many ways.
Oh, is that the paperback where all the people were on the street dancing?
Yeah.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Okay. Yes.
And it's just glorious. I mean, it's really just lush and beautiful.
And all different forms of dance are expressed.
Yes.
And who does the... Is it one photographer or is it several?
It is Ken Brower and Deborah Ori and the New York Dance Project.
Okay.
New York City Dance Project who do this. And, oh, my God, seriously, that's just stunning. Sorry, I'm sorry, everybody, you can't see this.
No, that was a picture of, I believe, a man.
Yes.
Who was doing a split.
Yes.
We see the back of him.
Yeah, it's stunning. So this is a lovely book for one's home collection or as a gift. It is modestly priced, I think, for $50.
Oh, that isn't bad.
Yeah,
for
given
what it
is. Coffee
table book price, yes.
A giant coffee table.
All right.
All right. Two more.
Art of Dance. Yes.
All right. So this is a middle grade book for, I would say, kids 8 to 12. It's by Adam Gidwitz. It's called The Inquisitor's Tale or The Three Magical Children and Their Holy Dog. It's awesome. I love this. It is like Chaucer's Tales, right?
Yeah.
Where every chapter has their own narrator.
Okay.
So it's The Brewster's Tale is chapter one. And then The Nun's Tale picks up after that, and so on and so forth. And so you get this wonderful interplay in between everybody who's at the bar. This is Middle Ages, so it wouldn't be called a bar, but at the same time. And they're all talking to one another about these three kids and their magical holy dog, who is like this little sainted dog, and how the authorities don't want them and are fearful of them because they're the witch's thing. And it's a delight. It's just a delight. I had so much fun with this. So we have autographed copies at the store if anybody wants them.
Excellent. The Inquisitor's Tale.
Yes.
Is that book.
By Adam Gidwitz. And then the last one I wanted to talk about. This guy, Brendan Wenzel, has this picture book called They All Saw a Cat. And it is a delightful exploration and introduction into the idea of perspective. So it starts off with a cat and a little boy, you know. The cat walked through the world. I'm going to read this to you. I'm sorry. It's just going to happen.
Okay, that's fine.
With whiskers, ears, and paws. I'm not going to read the whole thing. But and the child saw a cat. So you get the cat to see the cat from the child's perspective.
Okay.
And then you get to see it.
Yes.
And the dog saw the cat, and the cat's perspective has greatly changed. It is now sort of elongated and strange.
It's like something out of The Lion King.
And the fox saw a cat, and now the cat is all tiny and chubby and, you know, fluffy.
Like a chew toy.
Yes, exactly. And they all saw the cat. And so you get to see how a fish sees a cat, and how a mouse might see a cat, and so on and so forth. Bats, worms, the way every... So you get an interesting perspective of how each animal sees in the world.
I'm going to ask a really good slash stupid question.
Okay.
Are you ready? Is it based on fact?
Yeah.
Like in the sense of this is really how we believe a worm would perceive a cat.
Well, I think that's how he believes a worm would perceive okay. a cat. But I think it's because worms feel vibrations. They don't have
yes.
eyes. So,
okay.
So what that is an illustrative representation of the vibrations that a cat might.
So what we know about a fox, or this
yes.
is how they would,
right.
would see the cat.
Well, yeah, again, an illustrative representation of an artist's imagination as to what that
okay.
might be like. I mean,
gotcha.
We don't have... I don't think he sat down necessarily with the sciences and said, what does the cat
well,
look
no,
like
I know.
To the fox?
I was just, I saw the one thing of the
well,
fish, and I thought, that's really interesting. I wonder
is.
How they know that.
I think he, you know.
Yeah.
We know a little bit.
Dramatization, sure.
Yes, of course.
All
I
right.
mean, and there's the flea on the fur.
Oh, that's cool.
It is. I mean, it's a wonderful, wonderful book. So, and I adore it.
All right, we're out of time, but I want to remind folks that they can find out more by going to Open Door Bookstore.
Opendoor-bookstore.com.
After 20 years, I'll figure it out. And you can find out more. Also, go to our website to see the list. Amy Lane, you're great. Thank you.
Thank you.